Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, and we're going to be doing Chav Ches Amud Beis. We're going to start on the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Aleph with the brand new third perek, and the Mi'etz Hashem, we're going to do Chav Tes as well. This will catch us up for the days that we'll miss on Shavuos, because I can't dictate on Shavuos. So, we will begin the very brand new perek, the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Aleph, with Amar Lehem HaMemuna. We had actually quoted this Mishnah a couple of times in the previous Shiurim, so it should be a little bit familiar to us. The Memuna, the one in charge, Rashi points out again, he's the Skan. He was the Vice Kohen Gadol. He was the one that was making sure everything in the Beis HaMikdash was going smoothly. So Amar Lehem HaMemuna, this Memuna said to all the people that are around them, all the Kohanim, in the morning to make sure that things got off to a good start. And he said, so go outside, ru and see, go and check, if it's yet dawn, and therefore we can do the shechita of the Korban Tamid. Korban Tamid was the first Korban that was brought in the morning. It was the Korban Tamid Shebein Arbaim was the last Korban that was brought in the afternoon, with the one exception being the Korban Pesach. It could be brought after the Korban Tamid, which we learned about when we did Psachim, and Mi'etz Hashem we're going to mention again later in the shiur today. In any event, the Memuna said to the people, go and make sure to the Kohanim that were there, make sure that it is dawn, and therefore that the Korban Tamid is allowed to go and be shechted. As we'll see, a mistake once happened, and they weren't shechting the Korban Tamid in the right period of time, and that caused the Korban Tamid to be possible. So, go and see if it's man shechita. So, what happened? Im higia, if the dawn had already arrived, Haroa Omer Barkoi, the one who would be asked to go and see, has it yet become dawn? The Gemara will go through this conversation a little bit more in detail, said Barkoi. Barkoi is a Lashon, Rashi says, of Lashon Tzohar. Yeah, the sun is shining. It brings Psukim when we use this Lashon. Barak is lightning. So the Roa, the person who was asked to see, said Barkoi. Yeah, it is dawn. Masi bin Shmuel Omer. Now, some suggest that Masi bin Shmuel was the Memuna. In any event, we'll see that in the Gemara, but Masi bin Shmuel Omer, Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach, has the entire eastern sky lit up. In other words, he's asking, is it a later shear? Has the sun come up to the point that the entire Mizrach in the sky is lit up? And somebody answers, Adshe B'Chevron. That will be the Gemara's explanation, that they have a conversation over here. But right now he says, up to Chevron. In other words, can you see all the way up to Chevron that the eastern sky has been lit up? And then somebody else responds, Hain. We'll see again who this conversation is in the Gemara. This will not be just one person talking the whole time. This will be a conversation. Why did we have to go through this whole rigmarole? What was the purpose of having this big public conversation over here? The Gemara says, Shepam achas ola Ma'or Halavona. One time the moon was mistakenly thought to be the sun's dawn, and the Dimushia Mizrach, they thought that it was actually dawn, and as a result, the Shachatuas Atomid, they Shachat the Korban Tamid, because now it's this month to Shachat the Korban Tamid once it's day, and therefore it was really nighttime, Votsiul Beis HaSreifa, and this Korban ended up being possible and was taken out to the Beis HaSreifa where it was burned, and they had to go Shachat another Korban Tamid in its place. Now, Gemara says, after this, Horidu Kohen Gadol LeBeis HaTevila. Up until now, we weren't necessarily talking about Yom Kippur. But now we continue on Yom Kippur in the morning. Horidu Kohen Gadol LeBeis HaTevila. The Kohen Gadol had to go to the mikvah. This Lashon of Horidu is a little bit funny, because remember we had said that the mikvah that they took him to was really on the second floor. So it was on top of one of the shiurim. And why is this Lashon of Horidu? Should have said, Helu, they brought him up. So Rashash says it because once he was up there, he then went down to be Tovel. So therefore, that's the Lashon of Horidu Kohen Gadol LeBeis HaTevila. In any event, Zeh Klal Hoy B'Mikdash. They tell us a rule of activities in the Beis HaMikdash. Kol HaMesech Es Raglov, anytime anybody went to defecate. Mesech Es Raglov is a euphemism. Rashi points out it's a nice terminology. This is referring to Nekovim HaGedolim. This is to defecate. The Loshon Mesach, this Loshon of Mesach means to cover up. Kemo Elon HaMesach HaLoritz, like the branches of a tree, the leaves of the tree that cover up the ground. Lefi Shatzarch LeNekovim HaGedolim, because when somebody has to go defecate, he has to go to the bathroom. Korei Al Birkov, he bends down, he squats on his knees. Umechase Gufo Es Raglov, and he covers up his lower part of the body with the clothing that he takes off, and this is a tznius way to do this. And
Rashi brings a pasuk from Shaul where we see this lashon as well, and the Yaivitz of Yaakov Emden brings down a pasuk from Eglon where this lashon of Mesach Raglab is beferish used. So this is a euphemism, a nice way to say a person is defecating. He's covering up his legs. He's covering himself up in a tzniestic way, and that's the euphemism that we use for going to the bathroom, moving your bowels to defecate. That requires after a person does is ton tefillah. You have to go to the mikveh afterwards to make sure that you're tar. You shouldn't have any tzoa on you. That is the requirement after defecation. The whole metol mayim is the lashon that we use, the euphemism we use for going and urinating. So after a person in the Beis HaMikdash has to go to the bathroom to urinate, that requires not a mikveh, but ton kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. That requires the person to go wash his hands and his feet. Again, they were barefoot, so it's not such a big deal to wash your feet. And they would go to the kior, and they would go and wash their right hand and the right foot together, and then they would wash their left hand and their left foot together, and this was ton kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. And so Rashi says this was from the kior. The kior was located in between the mizbeach and the ulam, to the western side of the mizbeach. Okay, that's on Mishnah. Then we turn to Chav Ches Omid Beis to start the Gemara. Gemara starts off and says Tanya. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel says Barak Barkai. He didn't just say Barkai like we had in the Mishnah, but the lashon that he actually used was a double lashon of Barak Barkai, which is the earliest shear that we're going to have over here from the several shearim they're going to give, that yes, dawn is visible. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Kiva says a little bit later shear. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Allah Barkai. As Rashi points out, there's no Tosos on this stuff, so the Rashis are actually found in Tosos' spot. So we go first to the Tosos side of the page, where the Rashi is found, and he says, Heir Yoser mi Barak. There's a little bit more light, a little bit later in the morning, Rabbi Kiva says, in order for them to go Shech the Korban Pesach, to be certain that it was daytime, it had to be this Ola Barkai, a little bit more light was visible. We have even a more later shear. Nachuma ben Afak Shion, he's a uncommon Tana for us to mention, and he says, Omer, Af Barkai b'chevron. Not only is it just a little bit visible over here, the light in the east, but it has to be visible all the way over to Chevron, which was eastward. And even a later shear, Masya ben Shmuel, now the gear that we have in parentheses here is Omer, that he said, but as I mentioned before, some suggest that he was the Mamuna. So Masya ben Shmuel, HaMamuna la Paisos, he was the one in charge over here to make sure that the activities of the day were under supervision and under control and done properly. He said, Omer, even a little bit later of a shear. His opinion is, you have to see, hey, your Pnei Kol HaMizrach, that the eastern sky was lit up, Adjib Chevron, all the way over to Chevron. Not that there's a little bit of a dawn even in Chevron, but that the entire sky is lit up all the way from where they were until Chevron. Again, a little bit later in the morning. And finally, the most latest shear in the morning, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, Omer, similar to what Masya ben Shmuel said, but added on, Heyer, Pnei Kol HaMizrach Ad B'Chevron, just like Masya ben Shmuel, but then he adds on, and it's already the Yatsu Kol Ha'am Ish Ish L'machto, and people are already getting up to go to work. That's how much into the day it already is, that it's definitely Vaday dawn. Shmuel says, Ihachi, if this is the Shia, the Yehuda ben Maseira says that the people are already going to work, so Noga Leituva, that's a late time already. This is well into the day. This is not the start of dawn. This is much later. Noga Leituva, it's already much later. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean that they're actually going there. It means that the people that are going hiring workers that day are going Liskor Palim Kamrina. That's what he meant. That's a much earlier shear than when the rest of the people are getting up to go to work. This is when the first guy goes out and starts to hire people. That is a much earlier in the morning, still later than all the other shurim that we said, but not as late as when people are already going to work. Okay, now, Amar Rav Safra, Rav Safra tells us, an aside, Tzlosei the Avraham, the davening of Avraham Avinu. Now, we're talking about Tfilas Mincha, which will explain why we're associating this with Avraham Avinu. Isn't Tfilas Yitzchak normally associated with Yitzchak? So we'll explain that in a second. First, let's say what Rav Safra said. So this Tfilas Mincha of Avraham Avinu, when is it started? Miki Mishachrei Kosle. When you start seeing the shadows on the eastern side of a wall, so it means the sun is now in the west. Up until midday, the sun is in the east, so the walls on the east have the sun shining on them. There's no shadow there. When it's perfectly midday, so that there's no shadow on them at all, because the sun is shining directly down, and only as the sun goes towards the western part of the sky, right after midday, will there start to be some shadow on the eastern side of the wall. So therefore, Rav Safsa says, the earliest time that you could daven mincha is right after Chatzos, when there starts to be a shadow on the eastern side of the wall. So this brings us to the question I just mentioned a moment ago, why are we calling this loosely the Avraham? Now, the Tosfos Yeshanim and many others ask this question over here, and they say that Im Tomar Har Minam Beperik Tvilas HaShachar, the Gemara in Brachos tells us that Yitzchak Tikein Tvilas Mincha, Yitzchak was the one that was Masadir Mincha, Avram was Masadir Shachris, Yitzchak was Masadir Mincha, as it says, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basodeh, and this Lasuach Basodeh means to daven, and Yaakov Avinu was Masadir Marid. So why are we calling this Tzlusi de Avraham? So the Tosfos Yeshanim gives two terutzim. And the first one he says is, Yesh Lomar, the Achar Shetik no Yitzchak. So, okay, Yitzchak was masakin it, and Avraham said, that's a great idea. So Hayu Omra. So after Yitzchak said it, Gam Avraham said it. So therefore, that's why it's called the Davening of Avraham Avinu, because he's the patriarch of all of Klai Yisrael. So therefore, he also davened Mincha, and it's called after him. This is the opinion, Kach Pirush Rabbeinu Tam. That's the first teretz Tosfos Yeshanim gives. Second one, he says, Inami, Omer, Rebbe says, the Mikom Mokom, Haya Omra Avram Mitchila, that in fact, Avram Avinu, as we're going to learn later in the Shia today, followed all the mitzvos. Ekev, Tishmon. So it says that when he was 3 years old, the Lashon of Ekev for 172 of his 175 years, that's the gematria of Ekev, Avraham Avinu served the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He observed all the mitzvos, including even mitzvos de Rabbanan, even Erev Tchumim, what some have the years of Erev Tavshilin. In any event, so Avraham Avinu also davened Mincha, even before Yitzchak started davening Mincha. Ella, Shloah saw Klal L'chol B'nei Beso, but he did that personally. He didn't insist that the rest of his family do that as well. Ad Shetik no Yitzchak. Then Yitzchak came along and said, everybody should be doing this, but he saw it first from his father. Dafilu Erev Tavshilin Kiyam. As we mentioned a second ago, Tosfos Yeshanim tells us, we can learn in the Gemara that Avraham Avinu did all these mitzvot. So of course Avraham Avinu davened Mincha. He didn't wait till Yitzchak was Mesader to go and daven Mincha. And therefore it's called the Tefillah of Avraham Avinu, because he really said it before Yitzchak. It's just Yitzchak was the one that codified that everybody should say it. Those are the two terutzim that the Tosfos Yeshanim gives. The Aruch explains, and you can see this in the Masoros HaShas Oz Beis, he says that Pirish Tfilas HaAvos Kulam, that this means all the Avos davened all three Tfilos, below his Avram, and the only reason it says that Avram's Tfilah was Tfilas Mincha is because he's the head patriarch, El Ibnei Shu Ikar. He was the first one, and he was the one that said it. So therefore, just because Yitzchak is misaking it, we still refer to it as Tzluse de Avram. So, bottom line is, Rav Safra said that you can start davening Mincha, what he calls it Tzlusei de Avraham, as soon as the sun is a little bit on the west, meaning right after Chatzos Hayom. Rav Yosef doesn't like this. I'm Rav Yosef. Anan me Avraham nekom v'nigmar. Should we learn out from Avraham how to do the mitzvos? So why not? What would be the havamina to say no? So Rashi explains over here, Boso landenu lios zrizim ki Avraham. So he's saying that can we possibly be as zealous in the performance of mitzvahs like Avraham Avinu? That's a standard that nobody can meet. And therefore, just because Avraham Avinu did it the minute that he could, doesn't mean that that is an obligation for anybody else to follow. Now, in the Masoros HaShas Os Lamed, the Aruch is again also brought down over here, and he says, the question that Rav Yosef is asking is, Hich nilmad mi Avraham? How could we possibly follow what Avraham did? Shekiyam HaTorah Achalunitna. Because Avraham Avinu did it as a person who was not mitzuvah. So therefore, because he did something, we shouldn't be following anything before Matan Torah. As a little bit later in this Masoros HaShas footnote, he brings down from the Yerushalmi, the Ein Lemeid Demikod Matan Torah. So Rav Yosef is asking, why you bring me a raya from Avraham Avinu? That's not correct. The Gemara answers, Rava answers to this question of Rav Yosef, Amar Rava, Tana, Gomar Mi Avraham, the Tana, learned that we should learn out from Avraham things. So therefore, Vadnat Logam Rinamine, and you're saying we shouldn't learn out from Avraham, you are an Amora. But we have Tanoim that say we can learn from Avraham. Where is that? The Tanya, the famous Braisa, says, Vayom HaShmini Yimol B'Sar L'Sol. Avraham Avinu was commanded to do Bris Milah on the 8th day. Now, when on the 8th day? Technically, it's Kosher all day. It says, it doesn't say first thing in the morning. It says any time during the eighth day, a baby can have his bris milah. In fact, some communities don't follow this custom, and they have a bris milah a little bit later in the day. Many, however, follow this custom. The Gemara now says, Elosh azrizin makdimim lemitzos. People that are zealous in the performance of mitzos do it as soon as possible. Now, how do we know that from? We learned that from Avraham Avinu. Shneimar, vayishkem Avraham aboker, vayichavosh es chamoro. That's what the Vagomer means. He got up very early to go to the Akedah Yitzchak. He went with such alacrity that he saddled his own donkey. He had plenty of people that could have done that for him, but he went up real early in the morning because he was zoris to do the Dvar Hashem. So therefore, this Tana of this Braisa said that we learn out from Avraham Avinu. So Rava says to Rav Yosef, what does it bother you that we learn out from Avraham Avinu? No problem. So Rava says, that can't be what the Kasha is on Rav Safra. Eloma Rava, what Rav Yosef was asking, Rav Yosef, Hako Kasha Le. It wasn't saying, how come we're following Avraham Avinu? No, that's simple. Of course we can follow what Avraham Avinu did. No Kasha. But what you, Rav Safra, are saying is that he did it from immediately after Chatzos. Here's the kasha that you had on Rav Safra. Because we have a Mishnah Psochem that says, and this is what I alluded to earlier in the Shir, Chol Arvi Psochem Lios B'Ever Shabbos. When it was like this year, Erev Pesach Chol Lios B'Shabbos. So the requirement to go and bring the Korbanos is earlier because we want to roast the Korban Pesach after you shecht it before Shabbos. There's no reason to go and roast it on Shabbos if you can roast it in the afternoon, which is perfectly permissible. So therefore, we move everything up. As I mentioned, normally the Korban Tumen is the last Korban of the day, but here, the Korban Tumen is not the last Korban of the day. We shecht the Korban Pesach after it. But you move everything up so you'll have enough time to go and roast the Korban Pesach. So we learned in the Mishnah there, Chol Arvi Pesach Lios Rebbe Shabbos, Erev Pesach Chol Lios B'Shabbos. So you go and move the Korban Tumen up to the earliest possible time. Nishchat B'Sheish U'Mechtsa. You shecht it a half an hour after Chatzos. And the rationale there is because we can't really definitely state when Chatzos is, because the sun is right above us in the sky. Maybe it's a little east, maybe it's a little bit west. You can't always tell. So we wait till it's certainly on the western side, and that's what we wait a half an hour after Chatzos. And that will be the kasha on Rav Safra. You're saying that you can daven mincha the minute after Chatzos, but here you see that they didn't shecht the Korban Tamid a minute after Chatzos. They waited till a half an hour after Chatzos. And that will be the kasha that Rav says Rav Yosef is asking on Rav Safra. So let's finish that Mishnah in Pesachim. So they shechted the Korban Tamid at 6.5 hours in the day. The Korb, and was actually brought up onto the Mizbeach, the Korb is Shevu Mechtsa. And then they would go and shecht the Korban Pesach, which we don't quote here in our Gemara, because we're not interested in that right now. But the kasha is, it says that it was only shechted at 6.5 hours into the day. Why did they shecht it at 12:01? Why did they wait till 12:30? That's the kasha. So what says, what kasha? My kusha. We have three terutzim for that. Number one, Dilma, Kostle, the Beis HaMegdush, B'Shei Shumetzu, Mishachri. No, Rav Safra said that they shechted it when you could start seeing shadows on the eastern side of the wall. So who says that that's 12:01? Maybe the walls of the Beis HaMikdash were not perfectly straight. They were tapered somewhat, and that they were wider at the bottom. And therefore, since they were tapered, you couldn't see the shadows on the eastern wall till it was 12:30. So it's actually in accord perfectly with what Rav Safra said. That's teretz number one. Mishum deloma kavnei tuvna. They weren't exactly straight. They were somewhat tapered. That's Teretz 1, Inami, Shani Avram. Or we can say, no, Avram Avinu is different. Why is that? The Itztagnignus Gedola Haisabalibo. Because he was an expert in astronomy. Rashi points out, he was Baki Bahalichus Hamazlos. He was expert in how the constellations were in the sky. Utrilas Hashos, he knew exactly when it was midday. And therefore, it says, Hashem Berach Zavram Bakol. It meant that Avram Avinu saw, through his understanding of astronomy and astrology, that he wouldn't have child. And Hashem said, I'm going to take you out. Avram was v'yotzei so'achutz, he was taken out of his mazel, and eventually he was given to have children. Uberach es Avram bakol. And this bakol meant, v'chol ma'achim mizruch umarav mashkim l'piskol l'shol mazolos. He was so expert in this that everybody would come and ask him shailas about astronomy and astrology. So therefore, he was the expert, but not everybody else could be so expert. And finally, the third teretz is Inami, Mishum Dezokin, V'yoshev B'yeshiva Haba. Avraham Avinu was sitting in yeshiva, so for him to go and daven at 12:01 was no big deal. But for everybody else who's working and doing other things, so they couldn't daven at 12:01. So therefore, there's no real kasha on Rav Safra, because he was saying it specifically in one of these three terutzim, which didn't necessarily apply to shechting the Korban Tamid at 12:01. That's why the Korban Tamid was shechted at 12:30. Now the Gemara says, the Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Yechanina, Rabbi Chama said the name of Yechanina, Mimei Nishalav Oseinu Lo Parshu Yeshiva Mehem. We'll see a whole list of great personalities from Tanakh that always were sitting and learning. They always were zakenim. Zakenim means zeshikon chokhma, and we have this lashon of zaken. It means they were sitting and learning in yeshiva. For example, hayu b'mitzrayim, when we were in Mitzrayim, yeshiva imoyim. We had yeshivas in Mitzrayim, as the pasuk says in Emar, lech v'yosafto as ziknei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to go and gather the ziknei Yisrael. Now, the ziknei Yisrael, what is ziknei? Again, zeshikon chokhma. And therefore, there was a yeshiva. He said, go get the younger light from the yeshiva. When Klai was in the midbar, yeshiva imam. They were also sitting in yeshiva. Again, as it says, Shemar, Esoli Shivim Ish Mizikhnei Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told Yeshua to go gather the 70 people from Ziknei Yisrael. So again, they were sitting in yeshiva, Ziknei Yisrael. Likewise, we see the Avos. Avim Avinu Zokain, V'yoshev Yeshiva. Avim Avinu is also referred to as a Zokain sitting in Yeshiva, as the Pasuk says, Shem Avram Zokain, Baba Yamin. So therefore, he was sitting in Yeshiva too. We find by Yitzchak, Yitzchak Avinu Zokain also, V'yoshev Yeshiva. Where is that? Shem Avihiki Zokain Yitzchak. Yitzchak is also referred to as a Zokain. And likewise by Yaakov Avinu Zokain, V'yoshev Yeshiva. Also, how do we know that? Shem Avihiki Yisrael Kovdu Mi Zokain. Yaakov's eyesight dimmed as he got older because of Zokan. Again, he was sitting in yeshiva. We even find by Eliezer, who is Eved Avram, he's also referred to as a Zokim Yoshev Yeshiva Hoya. Where do we see that? Shinema, the Pasuk says, V'yomer Avram, El Avdo, Avram tells to Eliezer his Eved, who was Zekan Beso, Hamoshel B'chol Shalom. He was the assistant Rosh Yeshiva in Avram's yeshiva, and he was the Zekan Beso, and therefore he is also one who sits in yeshiva. And in fact, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, it's interesting that it's Rabbi Elazar, the one that's saying this about Eliezer, Eved Avram. In any event, he says, Eliezer, Eved Avram is referred to as who? Damesek Eliezer. What does Damesek mean? Damesek, Rabbi Elazar says, is a play on the words. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shedola Umashke. Damesek means Dola Umashke. He dips his bucket into the well, and he goes and gives everybody to drink. In other words, he taught the Torah of Ravina to the masses. Shadola umashke mitaraso shel rabo. That's what Damesek Eliezer means. He taught it to all the other people. Shadola umashke mitaraso shel rabo lacherim. Now, Omar Rav, Kiyam Avram Avinu, Kol HaTorah Kula. This is what I alluded to before. This is the famous drasha that Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, even as we'll see, even the Derabbanans, never mind the Derises, well before Matan Torah. And where do we see this? Because the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Ekev, Asher Shoma Avram Bekoli, and then we have the words of Gomer. Well, we read the rest of the Pasuk, Ekev, Asher Shoma Avram Bekoli, and the critical part is, Vayishmor Mishmarti, he observed all of my commandments, mitzosai, chukosai, visorosoi. Now, this is the real drush over here from the Vagomer. So, the Ekev I mentioned is a cute gematria, it's 172, and meant that when Avram was 3 years old, he recognized the Bore, he recognized the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then he lived 175 years. For the next 172 years, he fulfilled all the mitzos. Gemara says, Amar Rav Shimi bar Chiya l'Rav, really? He asked to Rav, is that true? Now, this Rav Shimi bar Chiya is Rav's grandson. Throughout Shas, we have statements that Rav and him interact with. So he asked his grandfather, the Ema Sheva Mitzvos, maybe this is just referring to the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach that Avram observed, but he was before Matan Torah, so he didn't have any other commandments. So Gemara says, that can't be. Ha'iko Nami Mila. Certainly, he had the Mitzvah of Mila. We know that he did Ris Mila. So Gemara says, okay, so fine. So the Ema Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach and Mila. Maybe that's what it means when it says that Avram Avinu fulfilled the Mitzvos. So Gemara says, no. That can't be. Amalei, Rav says to his grandson, Rav Shimi, Im Kain. What does he mean when the Pasuk says that he was fulfilling all the Vishmor Mishmarti, Mitzosai, Chukosai, Vesorosai? What in the world does that mean other than it meant that Avram Avinu fulfilled all the mitzos? And in fact, the girsa that we have is Omar Rav, but it should be Omar Rava, Vitema Rav Ashi. Either Rava or Rav Ashi said, Kim Avram Avinu Afilu Eruv Tavshilin, that he observed even Eruv Tavshilin. So others have the gears over here that it's Erev Tchumim. Whatever it was, Avram Avinu even did the mitzvah derabbanim. Shenemar, Torosoi, which implies a plural lashon, Toros. Now, what Toros are, the Rachman al-Sam, we don't say they're two Toros. What it means is Achas Torah Shebachsav, the Achas Torah Shebalpeh. He fulfilled both the oral law and as well the written law, and that's the godless of Avram Avinu, that even before Matan Torah, he saw through Ruach HaKodesh, he saw all the commandments, he was able to logically figure them out, he understood it so clear, so therefore he observed all the mitzvahs even before they were commanded. Now we finish that aside and we go back to our Mishnah where we quote that Masi bin Shmuel Omer v'chule. We have the whole conversation, which I said we would get to in the Mishnah. V'u Omer Hein. And somebody responded, yes. So who's this conversation between? So Gemara says, Man Amar Hein. Who said yes? Can't make sense that it's one person saying this whole thing. Ilema hachtukoya igra. If you're telling me it's the messenger that was sent up to the rooftop to go and see, is the sun coming out? Is it dawn yet? So who call him? Who mafasher? So he's the one that, so to say, has the chalom, and then he's the one that interprets his chalom. He's the cholim and the mafasher. Doesn't make any sense. He's going up to the rooftop, and then he says yes to his own question. So that doesn't make any sense. Okay, so Elahach, the Koyara, must be the one on the ground. So then, how can he answer yes? Mino Yada, how does he know? So the Gemara explains, this is what went on. There's two ways to possibly learn this conversation. So the first way is, if you want to say, it's talking about the one that went up to the rooftop to see if it's dawn, you're telling me it's on the roof. So Omar, the person who's up there on the roof, says, he tells everybody, yes, dawn has arisen, it has lit up the eastern sky. And then the person on the ground goes and asks him, how far is it lit up? Has it lit it up all the way to Chevron? And then the one on the roof, he says, yes, it has. So that's the conversation, according to that it's the one on the roof that starts it. Alternatively, you can learn the conversation over here from the point of view of the one that's on the ground. And he says as follows. He starts, Omar, he says, Ihu, Heyer, Pnei Kola Mizrach. He asks the person up on the top, has the entire Mizrach of the sky been lit up? V'yamalei, and the person on the roof says, yeah, Achi b'chevron, yeah, it's lit up all the way to Chevron. And the one on the bottom says, V'yamalei, Hein, yeah, Baruch Hashem, Yashar Koach, that's what I wanted to find out, and thank you for letting me know. Okay, that's the conversation, now we understand the Mishnah better. Then the Mishnah said, why do we need all of this? In other words, why do they have to send somebody up to the rooftop? So the Mishnah explained that the one time a mistake was made, it really was the moon, not the sun, dawn that they were seeing, and they ended up shechting the Korban Tumah a little bit too early, before the dawn, and it had to go to the Beis HaSreifa. So more questions, really, you're going to make the mistake between the moon's light and the sun's light? How can you make such a mistake? For Tanya, we learned in a Braisa that there's a clear distinguishing between rays of the moon and rays of the sun. Rabbi says, Eino dome timor shel levona. Rashi explains that timor, the spreading, the tzimuach of the rays of the sun, are different than the rays of the moon. Eino dome timor shel levona l'timor shel chama. Why is that? Timor shel levona, the rays of the light of the moon, misamer v'ole kemakel. They, in some ways, are like a straight stick. They don't diffuse. They don't spread out. And versus timor shochama, mafziya lekan lekan. It spreads out a little bit. So therefore, a knowledgeable person can tell the difference between a moon beam and a sun ray. So therefore, why did they make such a mistake? So what it says, Tarli Rabbi Shmuel, it depends. On a cloudy day, Rabbi Shmuel says, and in the base measure of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned, Yom HaMu'unan Hoya, it was a cloudy day, and therefore, Umavtziya L'Kanukan, even the rays of the moon beams, they can also be spread out, and therefore, that's what happened, they made the mistake. Amar Papa, Rapapa says, Shmamino, you see from here, Yoma De'eva Kule Shimsha, that the sun, even on a cloudy day, is all over the place, right? Doctors will tell you, that even on a cloudy day, you can get a sunburn. You have to be careful. You have to put on sunscreen, even if it's a cloudy day. So the rays of the sun can actually go through the clouds. So Rav Papa tells us this. So Gemara says, L'mai nafkamina, why is Rav Papa telling us, it's not a science class, why is he telling us this? So the Gemara says, L'shatuche oros, because if you want to go and spread out hides, in order that the hides should dry out, so if you spread out the skin that you're trying to turn into a hide, even if it's a cloudy day, you can accomplish the drying out of the hides. Alternatively, inamely chedorish rava, or so the following drasha, the rava said that he's telling us this then, that isha lo talush lo bechama v'lo mechami chama, when it's usually a woman who will be doing the baking of the matzah su Pesach, so you have to be very, very careful that the water is at exactly the right temperature, otherwise it could be machmitz, the dough, too fast. And therefore, when you're going and kneading the dough to make the matzah su Pesach, don't do it not in the sun, and not even lo bechame chama, or doing it with water that was heated by the sun, because it could get too hot. So even if it's cloudy outside, don't think that you're not going to get the benefit of the sun, so therefore you have to be careful and do it in a shady place, in a place where the sun won't affect the temperature of the water or the dough, and make it be machmitz faster. Amr Nachman, another din about this, zuama de shimsha, koshi mishimsha, the heat of the sun. Zuama literally means like the sweat of the sun. The heat of the sun is actually stronger on a cloudy day than the straight sun on a clear day. And the way to remember this, v'simonech, is dono dechala. If you have a jug that's filled with vinegar, so if you open up the cap, so then, yes, you'll smell the vinegar. But if you only little holes in it, so then the vinegar comes through in a much stronger way. That's how Rashi explains this. And he says, similarly, shavrire de shimsha, when you look at the sun, it can be very, very powerful and blinding. It's kashu mishimsha. But the shavrire of the sun, these beams that come through the clouds, are even more difficult on the eyes than just the sun itself. And he says, the way you remember this is simonech dilfa. It's like a little drop dripping down. The famous story with Rekiva, that he saw the dripping of the water and it made a hole in the rock. So drip, drip, drip can be stronger sometimes than just all the water flowing through. So again, these statements that Rav Nachman made, he gives us these interesting mnemonics to help us remember them. We turn to Chav Tes Omid Aleph now. He tells us another interesting din. He says here, Huri Aveira, Kosher Mi Aveira, even the thinking of an Aveira, and Rashi says this is talking about immoralities when you have tivus for women, so that can actually be stronger than doing the actual Aveira itself. In other words, it can be more powerful and consume you more than the actual doing of the Aveira itself. Understanding of this is when you're thinking of doing an Aveira, you're constantly immersed in thinking of doing the Aveira. Rechman al-Salam, somebody did the Aveira, okay, it's done. And then he can hopefully do tshuva and go on with his life. When you're thinking of the Aveira, it can actually be worse. And he said the way to remember this is v'simonech recho de bistra, the smelling of the aroma of a barbecue, of roasted meat, that can be more powerful than the actual eating of the meat. Similarly, shule de kaita, he says, the heat at the end of the summer is kasha mikaita, is worse than the heat at the beginning of the summer. How do you remember this? V'simonech tanura shkira. If an oven is already heated up, it's much hotter than when you have to heat it up from scratch. So at the end of the summer, the sun's been heating all the time, so it's much hotter. Ishza desisva, the fever that a person might get, the temperature that a person might get from when he's sick, in the sisva, that is the winter, is kasha midikaita, is worse than in the summer. And the understanding over here is, if you can have a temperature when it's cold outside, so you must really have a temperature, as opposed to in the summer when it's already hotter, so it's easier to have a temperature. And he says, the way you remember this is a simonech tanura krira. If you have a cold oven and then you heat it up, you have to really heat it up in order to get it to be hot, as opposed to if it's already hot. And finally, he says, migmar biatikta, if to try to remember something that you learned a long time ago, is kasha micharita, is harder than learning something fresh and new. And he says the mnemonic for this is simonech tina bar tina. When you're trying to make cement from cement that you broke and then are now trying to reform it, it's much harder. It's easier to make new cement as opposed to taking old cement and undoing it and then trying to make new cement from it. Okay, these were all the slides that Rav Nachman told us. Gemara says, I'm a Rabbi Yavo, my time of the Rebbe, what is the understanding that Rebbe said before? That the rays of the sun are spread out, they're misamer, they're mafzia. So the Gemara says, this is based upon the siv, Lamnatzeach al Ayelas HaShachar. This is the famous capital in Tehillim, Ayelas HaShachar, capital Chof Beis, where it tells us the following, that the conductor, the Lamnatzeach, is talking about the Ayelas HaShachar. Ayelas is a certain type of a deer, a hind, and it's talking about in the morning. Now, what is this referring to? My Yolazu, what is this referring to over here, this hind? So, Karnea Mavtsilos, this type of a deer, its horns, its antlers, are going all over the place, Lekan Lekan. So he says, so too, Avshachar Zeh Mavtsil Lekan Lekan. So too, the light in the morning, the Shachar, it spreads out and goes all over the place. That was the source for Rebbe's statement. Once we mention this capital, Tilden will dash in a little bit more. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Lo Manim Shal Esther Le'Ola. Why specifically Esther referred to as the Ayelas HaShachar? So that's the teacher, Lo Maloch. Ma Ayola Rach Motzar, just like this type of a deer, this ayol, this hind, this Ayelas HaShachar, its rachmo is very tsar. Its womb, it's the entranceway into the womb, where the animal mates, it's very narrow, and therefore the chaviva albala kol shovishah, the husband, i.e. the mate of this hind, is going to be enjoying the tightness, so to say, of the narrowness over here of the entranceway into the womb. So kishor rishona, just like the first time when the hind has not yet had relations, so it's going to be tighter, so it constantly stays tight, and that's more pleasurable to the husband. So to Av Esther, she's referred to over here as Hoysa Chaviva, Alach Hashverosh Kol Shovashah. that it was displeasurable to Achashverosh each time he had relations with her, just like the Shor Rishona. So that's an allusion over here, why we should call it Ayelas HaShachar. Again, these are very deep thoughts, which we're just scratching the surface. Gemara continues and says, Amar Ravasi, Lomanim Shul Esther L'Shachar. Why is Esther specifically referred to as compared to the Shachar? So Loma Loch, to teach us, Ma Shachar Sov Kol Laila, just like the morning is essentially the end of the nighttime, so to Af Esther Sov Kol Anisim. Esther brings about the whole story of Esther. The Megillas Esther is the last one of the Kisei HaKodesh, it's the last one of the 24 holy books, and it's, so to say, the end of all the Nisim that Klai Yisrael is going to have. Gemara says, Hanukkah occurred, or Yikah Hanukkah, that was a nase after Purim. So Gemara says, no, Nitno Lichtov Karmin, as I alluded to a moment ago, this is the last of the Kisei HaKodesh. The Sefer HaChashmonim was not codified. It was a question, should the Sefer HaChashmonim be put into the books of the Torah, of the Tanakh? And it was said no. So Esther is the last book of Tanakh. So it was allowed to be written down and recorded as one of the Kisei HaKodesh, one of the 24 books of Tanakh. And that's what it means, that there was the Shachar, it was the end of the night, that's the last book. Versus, that's great if you hold that Esther is included in the 24 Kisei HaKodesh. Hanich l'man d'omer Esther nit l'lichto. Yeah, Esther is included, but there isn't a man d'omer. The Gemara in Megillah says, l'man d'omer Esther lo nit l'lichto, that there is no mitzvah to have Megillah's Esther and read it every year. There is no such book of Esther. Michael Lehmer, according to that opinion, okay, we don't pass it like it, but the Gemara says, what would that opinion do? Why is Esther referred to as Ayelas HaShachar? So the Gemara says, Mokim Loker Rabbi Binyamin by Yefes. This goes in accord with what Binyamin by Yefes said. What did he say? He said, over the name of Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Elazar. The Omer Rabbi Binyamin by Yefes, Omer Rabbi Elazar, he said as follows, Loma Nim Shalu Tfilos Shal Tzadikim Kayelas. Why are the Tfilos of Tzadikim compared to this hind, this Ayelas? To teach us, Loma Lucha, Ma Ayolazu, just like this hind, Kozman Shemagagdeles, Karnea, Mavtsilos, just like this hind, as it grows and grows and grows, its horns, its antlers also grow and become all enlarged and branched out. So too, Av Tzadikim, the Tfilos of the Tzadikim, Kozman Shemarbim Mitfila, as long as they continue to daven, so Tfilos and Imshmas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always listens to their Tfilos. So that's why this Lashon is used over here of Ayelas HaShachar. So even if you don't want to say that Esther was, the Megillas Esther was written down for all Doros, so nevertheless, it makes sense that she should be cared to as Esther as Ayelas HaShachar. Now we're back to the Mishnah. We quote the Mishnah, says, Shachatus HaTomid. They made a mistake, and they shechted the carbon Tomid too early because they mistook the moonbeams for the sun's rays. So when it says, when did this actually happen? Amos. If it happened on Yom Kippur, we got a problem. If you tell me it's the rest of the year, so then why is the Kohen Gadol involved? Because the next statement said that they brought the Kohen Gadol down to the mikvah. So lo sagi, they love Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol had to do the Korban Tumah every day. Granted, he was allowed to do it if he wished to, but it was done by a regular stand Kohen. So what in the world are we talking about the Kohen Gadol going to the mikvah right after this? You're going to tell me Elo b'Yom Kippurim, and that's when the Kohen Gadol definitely had to do the Shechita, the Korban Tumah. So then Ma'or HaLevonah Mi'ikah, then the way in the month, this is the 10th day of the month, so then there's no way that they would have mistaken the moon beams for the sun's rays. So when it says, Hachikam, right? No, this is what it's telling us. Ubi Yom HaKippurim, by the way, on Yom Kippur, this event occurred before Yom Kippur, on another day of the year. But on Yom Kippur, when they said this whole process of has the eastern sky been lit up, Kiyoma Barak Barkai, so at that point in time, Horidu Kohen Gadol Lebeis HaTvila. Simultaneously, at that point in time, they would start bringing the Kohen Gadol to be Tovel in the Mikvah. But not that this Maisa happened on Yom Kippur. We go right to the Gemara, says, Tani Avud Rabbi Yovan. Rabbi Yovan's father said the following drasha from the following Brisa. Lo Zu Bilvad Omru, not only was this Korban Tumah when it was shechted before dawn going to be possible, he says, in general, anything before dawn is going to be possible. El af malika sa'of. Even if you did malika on a bird, the bird offerings had malika. They would press with their fingernail to the back neck of the bird, either the ola or the chatas, and go and do the equivalent of shechita in that fashion. So even if you did the malika on a bird offering before dawn, it's no good. And likewise, even if you did ukmitzas mincha balayla, if you did the kmitza, the removal of the handful of the flour from a carbon mincha to be put and be makriv on the mizbeach, if you did the kmitza at nighttime, it's also no good. Not only carbon tamid could be done at night, none of the karbanos, not the malika or kmitza of the mincha, could be done at night. Now, bishlam olas of, we understand why you can't do the olas of, because maida hava hava. If you were to go and do the malika of the bird at the nighttime, so it's dead. It's like doing the shechita in the nighttime. You can't undo it. So what are you going to do? Bishlama olas of my dahava hava. It's too late. Ela Kometz, the Kmitza, there's no problem. So undo the Kmitza. Go put it back into the container. And we turn to Chavtes Amud Beis. Nahadra, go and put it back. V'nahadr, v'nikmitza b'imama. And go and do it, just like we said, with the seed of the Shnei Ziri Yetzim. So if you did it too early, so then take it off and then put it back on after dawn. So to over here, if you took the Kmitza out of the container, so you did it too early, fine, go put it back. And then after dawn, go and do it again. Shemori says, Rabbi Oven, his father, who was the one that taught this Raisa, Hutanila, he brought this down and asked the question, Hu'omala, and he explained it. He says, Kli Shares Mekachin Afilu Shlobismano. He says, as soon as you put it into a Kli Shares, that is going to be Mekadishit, and you can't undo it. And therefore, as soon as you took the Kmitza and you put it into a Kli Shares, so therefore, even though it was done at the wrong time, it was done too early, it already has the Kedusha being put into that Kli Shares, and you can't undo it. Now we're going to question this idea that Avua the Rabbi Oven just taught us, that even though you put it into the Kli Shares when it wasn't supposed to be, it was at nighttime, it still can be Mekadishit. So the more questions is Meisvei. Zaklau, we learned in a Braisa the following general rule. Kol HaKarei Bayom, something which normally has to be brought up on the Mizbeach during the daytime, Kadosh Bayom, can be put into a Kli Shares, can become Kadosh during the daytime only, not during the nighttime. Holakari Belaila, something that has its Kedusha done at nighttime, such as various Nesachim, so these Nesachim can be done even at nighttime, so therefore, Holakari Belaila, Kodesh Belaila. As Rashi points out, the Omar Bar, we can learn in the Gemara in Menachos, Umin Chasson the Niskehem, that implies Afilo Belaila. Fine. If something could be done during the day or the nighttime, Holakari Bein Bayom Velaila, so then its Kedusha could be done, Kodesh Bein Bayom Velaila. Now, we just said, Ktani Mias, Kol HaKari Bayom, anything that is done during the daytime can only receive its Kedusha, Kodosh Bayom, implication being Bayom in Balayla Lo. And therefore, how can you tell me that when the Kmitza of the coin was done inappropriately at nighttime, it can't be undone and put back because it got its Kedusha at nighttime? This is an activity that's normally during the daytime, and this Brisa that we just brought down would say that you can't do it at nighttime. The Kedusha won't occur at nighttime. So Kasha on Avu, the Rabbi Yovin. So one says, no, it's not a kasha. Dilma ain't kadosh li karev. You're right. When you put it in there, this Bryce has said that it's not kadosh, meaning it's not going to be kadosh to make it good, but it can be kadosh to make it bad. Ava kadosh li pasel. It can negatively affect it. It won't be able to be used for kedusha, but it does get a certain level of kedusha that it no longer can be used again. So this answer reinstates Avua Dori Ovin's explanation. More still questions this. Most of Rabbi Zeira. Zeira asks him this. Wait a second. We have in the Mishnah Menachos, it says as follows. Seed there as a lechem, b'es a bazichim achar Shabbos. You're supposed to put the lechem upon him and the bazichim that go on top of each row, the two ladlefuls of Lavona that go on top of each row of the six stack of the lechem upon him. You're supposed to put that on Shabbos. You leave it on there on that Shabbos. It's baked the day before. You put it on that Shabbos. You leave it on the whole week and you take it off the following Shabbos. Let's say for whatever the reason, they only put it on after Shabbos. Let's say on Sunday. So see, there is a lechem, it's a bazichim achare Shabbos. They only put it on Sunday. And then the following Shabbos, v'ikter es habazichim Shabbos, they brought the Lavona and put it on the Mizbeach the following Shabbos. So, psula, that's the girsa that we have. So the simple understanding of this is that the bazichim that you used are psula. They didn't effectuate anything. The other simple understanding over here, which we're going to correct, is that the lechem upon him is also psula. Now, Rashi says we shouldn't be goris this. Rashi says that this is, in fact, an error. You see this in the Rashi, Dibra Masu Li Karev, about 10-15 lines into this Rashi, where we have a bracket where it says the Os Zayin from the Mesoras Hashas, and says, the Li Nire, the Lo Garcinum Psula, that we shouldn't be goris the word psula over here, because we'll see, you're not ruining it. We're saying that it can be restored back to being good. So the word psula is incorrect. In any event, what should you do? You took off the bazichin, and they weren't up there for the whole week. The lechem upon them were not up there the whole week. So the Mishnah in Menachos says, no problem. Ketzad Yasa, what you do? Yanichenu l'Shabbos haba. Leave it there for next week. And when next Shabbos comes, it's now on there for an entire week. It's from this Shabbos till next Shabbos. And Shafilu Amda l'Shulchan Yom Rabim. The fact that it's on the Shulchan for more than 7 days, that's no problem. As long as it went from Shabbos to Shabbos, Ein Bikach Klum, it's perfectly good. Now, according to what you just said, the Dumo Eino Kodushli Koriv, Avo Kodushli Pasel, the teretz that we gave for reestablishing Avua the Rabbi Oven, that shouldn't work. Vamai, Tikdosh Viti Pasel. It should have gotten its Kedusha, and therefore it overstayed, and therefore it shouldn't be good. So this Taka slugs it up. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Manda Kamosiv, Shapi Kamosiv, Taka, that slugs it up really well. So therefore, Rav Zeira's question is a good question. So how does Avuah the Rav Nosson learn it? So Avuah the Rav Nosson, Nami Mas Nisu Kamar, he also wasn't saying on his own. He's an Amora. He wasn't saying on his own. He was also quoting a Braisa. As Rashi says, Lav Shmaisa Zodamoroi Omar. He wasn't just saying an Amoroic type of a statement. He was also saying Elamas Nisa Tona. He was also saying a Braisa, Bitsrichin Onuli Yashiv. So we don't want to just say it's a Machlokis in Tanoim. So we can resolve it as follows. Because Sovar, Laila, Ein Mechusers Man. Yom Mechusers Man. Laila is considered part of the day already. The night before in Jewish law is already the next day. So therefore, Laila, when you did this kmitza and you put it earlier than the dawn, you took the kmitza and put it into klisharis at night, that's already considered that same day. And it's not called mechusar zman, and that's why it could be posel. However, here, yom, you're putting up the lechem upon him early, that's a different day. And therefore, that is considered mechusar zman, and it doesn't ruin it when you do something mechusar zman. Mora says, wait a second, Kimati Beishimshe. So now, okay, great, you put it up on Sunday, it's no problem. But now it comes Friday night, and the Lechem upon him are there Friday night. That should ruin it, because Friday night's already Shabbos, and it's too early. Kimati Beishimshe, Tikdo Shetif, so why doesn't it get ruined then? So Ravina says, not a problem. I'm Ravina. Shekodam Vesilko. You know what? The Kohen came, and he didn't have the Lechem upon him there on Friday night. So it was there all week long, but then he took it off before it was Friday night. Since it's not on there Friday night, it's only put on there on Shabbos, and therefore it's not a problem being put on in a Mechusar Zman time. That's Teretz number one. Alternatively, the Gemara says, Mazutra, Vitema Ravashi Omar, another Teretz, either from Mazutra or Ravashi. No, Apilu Tema B'Shalo Kodam Vesilko. Even if the Kohanim didn't take off the Lechem upon him from the Shulchan on Friday night, so it's there on Friday night. Why is it not a problem? Even Shesidro Shlo Kimitzvaso, because when they put it down on Sunday. It wasn't on Shabbos, so Nasa Kamo Shesidro Akov. So it has no kavana, it has no intention, so to say, with it. It'd be no different than if a monkey put it down. If a monkey put it down, we wouldn't say it's possible. So too, if you put it down at the wrong time and it stays there, that doesn't ruin it, even if it's there at the right time, i.e. now Friday night, which is considered like Shabbos, so it's not considered Mechusar Zman in this situation. Now we just quote the last part of the Mishnah. So that Klal Hoyev Mikdash. This was the general rule that we said, if a person defecated, so he had to go to Bitovel. If a person urinated, he had to go and Mekadish Yadayim V'Raglayim. Gemara says, okay, Bishlam V'Raglayim, I understand why you should have to go wash off your feet, because after the person urinated, he's barefoot. Maybe there'll be some drops of urine on his foot, so Mishum Nitzotzos, because of these drops, he has to go wash his feet. No, El Yadayim, my time, what did his hands do that his hands should require a washing after he urinated? So Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba says, Oso Meres, this comes to teach us, and we turn to Lamed Omed Aleph, Mitzvah l'shav shape, that a person has a mitzvah to try to get off the drops that are still left on the tip of the urethra, that are at the tip of the excretory system for getting rid of your urine. You should shake them off, and therefore you're touching your gid with your hand possibly, and therefore that's why you have to go and wash your hands. We may get some drops on your hands, so therefore you want to make sure that your hands are washed as well. And this is Masai Lila Ravami. This is in accord with what Ravami said. Dhamma Ravami, Ravami said, also when a person comes out of the bathroom, he should make sure that he doesn't have any little droplets of urine on his feet. Because if people see this, they're going to suspect that he's a krus shofcha. Krus shofcha is a person that can't have a normal flow of urine. If you can't have a normal flow of urine, then it dribbles down onto your feet. It must mean also that you can't have a normal flow of zera, of semen. And therefore, you couldn't impregnate a woman. The guy has children, so people are going to cast aspersions and say that his wife, Mistoma, must have, Rachmona Litzlan, committed adultery, and that his children aren't his own children. If he has drops of urine on his feet, it's going to look like he's a krus shofcha, and if the krus shofcha can't urinate properly, he can't ejaculate properly as well, wouldn't be able to impregnate his wife, and his wife's children are not going to be his children. Umotzi Laz, he's going to cast aspersions, Rachmona Litzlan, abon of Shem Mamzerim. People are going to accuse his children of being Mamzerim, Rachmona Litzlan, when that's not the case. So, therefore, a person should be careful to come out of the bathroom without any urine on his feet. With this, we conclude today's shiur.